I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Carol McLaughlin, who is an award-winning professor heading one of the largest and most respected harp departments in the world. She is a renowned concert harpist who performs internationally as a soloist and with orchestra. Carol has given workshops and lectures in more than 30 countries, teaching performers to overcome fear and achieve at their higher potential. An expert in neuro-linguistic programming, a Kundalini yoga teacher, an author, and a composer, Carol is also a gifted healer. She has recently conducted a study at the University of Arizona Medical Center, researching the power of harp music to heal patients in the intensive care unit following heart surgery. At the end of this interview, we will hear Danza di La Pastra, played on the harp by Carol, from her album, A Celebration of Harp. More information is available at www.hayhouse.com/author-bio/Dr.Carol-McLaughlin. Joining Carol in this discussion is Tej Paul, who is the director of an international business consultant team in Paris, France, specializing in leadership development. She holds master's degrees in both business management and psychology from France. Following her passion to inspire and uplift, Tej Paul attended the Corporate Coach University and the Barbara Brennan School of Healing and became a certified Kundalini yoga teacher. She is now a highly respected life coach, healer, intuitive, and inspirational teacher at the famed Miraval Resort in Tucson, Arizona. Tej Paul leads workshops around the world on intuition, healing, soul mission, and vibrant living, helping men and women design the life they truly desire. Her website is www.tejpaul-inspires.com. Their book, Manifest Moment to Moment, 8 Principles to Create the Life You Truly Desire, was published by Hay House in June 2014. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Carol and Tej Paul, and I look forward to hearing about manifesting moment to moment. Now first, there are many books about manifesting, and what does this truly mean, and how do we manifest moment to moment?
Well, this is Carol, and I'd like to refer to that. I think manifesting is one of the great words of our century because it means that we've taken our survival and our subsistence existence up to a level where you can really imagine what you want. You're not back in, you know, the Industrial Revolution, or you're not back in earlier times when just making a living was everything. But now human beings can say, wow, in this day, this is what I want. And so I think so many of us are, A, experiencing exactly what we want, and B, anxious to uplift others to have the power to do that, that I just think it's the greatest age to live in because we do manifest and we do expect it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Carol, I mean, you are into holistic health, so you
right.
know how important mm-hmm. it is to look at all the aspects of the human being, mm-hmm. the spiritual, the heart, the mental, the emotional, and the physical level.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about manifestation, we talk about all those five levels, and we can't manifest if any of those five levels are not vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that what people are calling the ascension process, where we're moving from third to fifth dimension, has anything to do with this process of manifesting, which people couldn't do before or weren't aware of before?
Well, I think what it's really important now is we are more and more inviting and embracing the unknown. And so some people can call it the spiritual dimension, but a dimension that goes beyond the logic, that goes beyond everything that we know through the linear mind. And as we invite that more and more, some people may call it different words, the fifth dimension, the attention principle, and all these kind of things.
And is it, do you feel that the increased consciousness of the population is assisting in this?
Yes, and Tej Pal and I both are Kundalini yoga teachers, amongst many other things. And the yogic tradition says that we have come out of the Piscean era, and we're going into the Aquarian era. And the old model was top down, and you do exactly what you're told, and not much celebration of the individual. The new era is very much empowering the self, empowering you to get in touch with all your dimensions, as Tej Pal so beautifully said, empowering you to use all of the power available, the power of intent, the power of positive thinking, the power of including your whole body and soul in decisions. So the time is right to go forward and achieve in a different way.
Great, good. Now, you teach how to cultivate intuition, and you refer to it as our magic wand. How do we connect and then learn to trust our intuition?
We have taught seven principles in the book, and what we like to focus on is the importance of being grounded and being connected to our full experience. And so all the exercises that we invite people to do is really to remind them to be in the present. And one of the key elements that we can all practice 24/7 is to learn to receive. And in life, we're not really good at receiving because we have a lot of questions and conversations when it's time to receive. But intuition is the art of receiving without preconceived ideas.
I find in my own life that I sort of know things, but I don't really trust myself, and so I need to get outside validation. And usually they tell me what I already knew, but I just needed that affirmation that it was right, what I thought I knew.
And so, the more that you trust your intuition, this is true for you, Carl, and for all your listeners, the more that you trust it, the more you will become all those things that Tej just said, grounded and knowing. I teach at a university which should be a complete mental situation, but when my students fly into Tucson to audition for me, it is my intuition in the first 3 minutes that says whether I'll accept them or not. So I run 98% of my life off my inner knowing. And it's only the times that I self-question that I ever kind of hit a brick wall.
And it's like anything else, we need to practice. So I often suggest people to practice their intuition on things that do not matter. If you're too attached to the outcome, it's very hard to learn. As simple as think about somebody you haven't talked to for a long time and receive that person in your being and detect, assess how they're doing, and then pick up the phone or text or email or whatever your system of communication is to check how was your intuition. And so there are little exercises that one can do to practice and get self-confidence with intuition.
Great. Good. Then what is a soul mission, as you refer to in the book, and how do we align with this?
Isn't that a great question? I think the most important thing to focus on when we explore that notion of soul mission is to pay attention to what brings us joy. because joy has a frequency of energy that is the closest to the frequency of energy of our soul. And so each time we are in joy, we feel that sense of oneness and that experience of being fulfilled. And that, the way we experience our spiritual dimension, is through fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one way to do that is if everyone would decide right now to take a piece of paper and just write down what gives me joy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll do it for a number of days. Just once a day for 3 minutes, write down what gives me joy. And all of a sudden, your life's going to start looking different because mm-hmm. you're going to start thinking, oh, I have to write that down tonight. That really brought me joy. Oh, I have to think about that some more when I write my list tonight about what brought me joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what we're talking about here is, first of all, everybody has a purpose on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has the opportunity, if they choose to find it and to express it.
Mm-hmm.
And to create also financial abundance with it if they want to. That is available to every one of us.
Mm-hmm. I think the listeners will like hearing that and want to know how to do it. So many of them.
And that's what we say. How to do it, it's to get away, as Carol was saying, from the business model, which is mm-hmm. what can I do? What is possible? What's realistic? What is the market mm-hmm. is open to?
Mm-hmm.
And those are distractions. We need to go within first
mm-hmm.
and to say, but what brings me joy? And
mm-hmm.
when we start to spend enough time on that, then we can go to a next step and to say, okay, what do we do with the joy? But
mm-hmm.
when we focus on the joy, we don't focus on what am I good at. We just focus on what brings me joy. And it's about really one step at a time here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling, Carl, that that's what is one of the things that sets our book aside.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a to-do list. We are not a mantra you're going to repeat or positive affirmations or a how-to something. We are the tool chest because not every person can follow the same
mm-hmm.
road to get to their life dream because their life dream is unique.
Right.
Their gifts and talents and joys and experiences are different.
Right.
So I like to think of Manifest Moment to Moment as a big toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what you're ready to work on, you are going to find a tool in that book that's simple and easy to get at that's going to help you to the next part.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's like a lifelong game.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then what is the difference between talent and gifts?
So a talent is what you're good at. And a gift is what brings you joy. So you may have some gifts where you can be extremely talented, but it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let go of, am I good at? The first question is, am I having joy with that experience?
Mm-hmm.
And then if joy is there, then we can explore, how can this person master that particular activity or that particular area of their life?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of focusing first on talents, we could focus first on the joy factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody has gifts. Gifts come with the package. And sometimes, as you're going through your life, you'll see a little clue about what is your true gift. Now, I happen to be a harpist
mm-hmm.
and knew at age 4 that I wanted to be one of the best harpists in the world. It
mm-hmm.
was just my knowing. And luckily, my folks said, fine, honey, I guess we better help this
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be really good. And a story my grandmother read me when I was like 2 years old was about a little angel who came down from heaven Christmas Eve and couldn't keep up with the choir, fell asleep, and when she woke up, she was left on earth. And she walked along the path. She saw a boy who was lame and couldn't walk. And she said, oh, I'll give you my wings so you can walk. She saw somebody, whatever, and gave them the crown. She met a woman who was deeply sobbing and so sad, and she said, "Here, this will make you happy. I'll give you my harp." And according to my grandmother, even at age 3, I would say, "I want a harp,"
mm-hmm.
because it meant to me fulfilling my life purpose, which was to bring joy to others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was a clue of what my gift is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because it was so true, I'm now at the university for 33 years, and I still love every day that I play the harp.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Then how can you give us an example of how the listeners can find their own gift?
So finding their own gift is doing the exercise that Carol was suggested, 3 minutes a day, every day, for at least 40 days in a row,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
committing to the exercise, what brings me joy? Because again, your gifts and your joy are aligned. And from that place, you decide how you want to jump into those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking the next step is to create a business out of it. The next step is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we have seen people and we have said, "Oh, you are a teacher," or "You are a photographist," or "You're a dancer." So not that they're going to dance on Broadway, most of them, but by starting to experience those gifts, what happens is they get out of their head, and the 1 or 2 or 3 hours a week they do that, they become more aligned with all their 5 levels that we talk about. And there, they develop their intuition, and they can start to create something else. So there's a process. At the beginning, it seems a little slow,
mm-hmm.
but quite frankly, most people we work with, it takes about 9 months
mm-hmm.
to be able
mm-hmm.
to manifest their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got a barometer. All of us have a barometer. When I do the work I love the most, or when Tej and I write a blog or we do a workshop, we smile, we beam, we love it. So when anybody is doing something in their day and they just go, "Wow, I'm loving this,"
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just want them to remember, therefore, I am in tune, I am in harmony with my soul purpose. I am doing something that I was meant to do on this earth, and just store that knowledge and celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
See where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. In your book, you point out that limiting behaviors are gifts and they should be embraced. Can you explain this to us?
Well, one way I like to tell my harp students is, if you break your arm, where the bone heals is going to be the strongest point in your arm,
mm-hmm.
because it has come to the attention of the rest of your body, and your rest of your body saying, "Oh, let's heal this. Let's make this good." Also, if we have something that just drives us nuts when we see we do it, we have to shine an internal flashlight on that behavior and say, "Now, why does that bother me so much?"
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers you so much because it is not aligned with who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a habit. It's a learned behavior. And when you work on that behavior, and when you overcome that behavior, and when you take it out of your picture, that is one of your strengths. And that makes you believable to the world, and that makes you stronger and full of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Things to add, Tej?
Yes, I mean, if I take my example, my limiting behavior. So a limiting behavior is something you do, and during the time you're doing it, you know that is not the best of you that is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
We all have some, and we can't stop them. So my limiting behavior is at times to be too judgmental or to be too negative.
Mm-hmm.
I have carried that for a long, long time. And what is my purpose? What is my soul mission? Is each time we work with people, I'm always really good at finding the best in them,
mm-hmm.
as finding how we can uplift them, and I get so much joy out of it. So basically, that teaching that says that we teach the best what we need to learn the most is really part of the soul mission.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the whole package, our beauty and our shadow, and we bring that to fruition.
Mm-hmm. I guess my limiting behavior would be my impatience, especially when I get out in my car and everyone else seems to be in my way.
So a great antidote for that type of experience,
mm-hmm,
is to, when you start to feel that rise inside you, say what you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful that I talked to Carol and Tejpal, and they're going to ask me to say 5 gratitudes. I'm glad that car that's going so slow in front of me kept me from getting a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful that I am not on such a time schedule that I'm going to really miss something.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Right,
just
right.
Think of what's the good side of it. Immediately, your experience will change.
Right. I've always looked at that as replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. And
good for you.
So I have practiced that for many years. And I used to get about 5 fingers every day when I drove. I don't think I've had anyone raise their finger at me in probably 10 years now. So there is something to what you're saying. I just called it by a different name. I called it replacing. But I still sometimes start feeling a little impatient. I live on a two-lane road to get out to the main road. And there's a lot of older people and people that are just out sightseeing. And they're going maybe 20 miles an hour in a 35-mile zone. Yeah, I still start feeling, you know, the impatience rising up. And then I have to work harder at it to, overcome
that. Yeah, it's interesting what you say, Carl, because I am sure that you have been teaching for a long time,
mm-hmm,
that as a teacher, you've been able to be extremely patient to others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as a nurse, I've had to be that too, but it's only mainly in my driving that I experience that. You know, I don't feel that when I'm teaching patients in the community or students or, you know, other people. I don't get impatient with that. It's only when I get in the car. It's that one situation that, you know, it brings out the impatience.
So we offer you a wonderful Petri dish there to look at that and say, okay, what can I learn out of this?
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm.
has stuck around a while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where's the blessing? And just dig for it till you find one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then, Tish, can you explain the principle of energy?
Everything is about energy. The yogis have said that, and certainly many other ancient spiritual traditions. And lately, quantum physicists have said that as well. And so when we understand that everything is about energy, each time you have a thought, each time you have an emotion, it creates a vibration in our energy field. And it's so important to pay attention to that, because when we want to manifest, it's not about goal setting, it's about embracing
mm-hmm.
our emotions, our sensations, our enthusiasm, our thoughts, our spiritual identity. And so when we embrace all of that, our manifestation process will be way more effective and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about energy is, you know, we as a human race are finding out that it's not that end goal that definitely brings us joy,
mm-hmm.
that definitely makes us happy. But if we can backtrack it energetically and say, on this day, and I can truly say this, Carl, on
mm-hmm,
this day,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am thrilled to be talking to you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It tickles my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that something is said that will make someone see something different and therefore have a more positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually tricked the universe into being so joyful at this moment that the end product is not so important, I know it's also going to be joyful. So it's a change, it's an energetic change from future tensing that we tend to go to, or even future worrying, into moment. And that's one reason we called our book Manifest Moment to Moment, because it's only this moment that works, that counts.
Yeah, and the other important things connected to what Carol just said, when we talk about energy, we are not going into the stories. And when we want to help people creating change, we listen to their energy patterns. We listen to what they're doing today and how they carry themselves. Because life is about patterns. It's really not about stories. And when we focus on the patterns, we can change way faster.
And how do we become aware of these energy patterns? And can you give us an example?
Well, even one way, Tej just told you, when you start to hear a story, when you start to hear a story of, I always get frustrated when I'm driving. I'm driving, now I'm frustrated again. That's a story. That's what you've told yourself. What about changing it and changing the story to, isn't that interesting? That's my story. What's my energy? Well, you know what? At this moment, my energy is looking around at this gorgeous drive and thinking, people drive hours to come and drive down this two-lane highway that I get to pass. So at this second, I'm just celebrating it.
I used energy as a concept around which I developed a theory back in, I think it was about 1970, maybe. And I refined it over about 35 years when I was teaching. But I used a systems approach, and I went back to energy. And so I looked at things like the individual, the family, the community. They're all energy. They have input. They have output. And eventually you get to the point where you can change the energy input and the output in terms of food and oxygen and, you know, all the things that people take in and out. And I did the same with the community, and it seemed like a nice, easy way to look at individuals, families, and communities as systems where you always went back to the concept of energy, and it applied to everything. And it came about, I went to a conference at Drew University. I think it was a metaphysical conference. And something happened at that conference, I don't know what, but when I left, everything I had ever studied was coming back to me, and it was being put together in a different way than anything had ever been put together for me before. And I had a tape recorder in the car, and on my drive back to North Carolina, I started just taping all of these ideas that were, you know, flowing through me, and then when I got back, I put that together, and that was the first articles, but then I ended up doing three books, and the last one was the community, application of this to a specific community. So energy, I think, is a very important concept in our lives.
And you just did a beautiful illustration of manifesting. You heard your ideas, you facilitated them, you had your tape recorder there, you put them down, and now years later you're still reaping benefits from that. So I salute you. It's the perfect example. Go ahead, Tej.
Yes, energy brings awareness, and throughout the book we give lots of exercise to help people become more aware about how they're behaving, what they're thinking, what kind of attitude they have, and all these kind of things. And that's the beauty of energy. And that's what you share in your example, so that you focus really on what matters.
Then you talk about givers and receivers, and you mentioned this earlier, that it was easier to give than to receive. And how can we then practice receiving?
Yes, it's easier to receive than to give. The practice of receiving
the first thing we can explore, one of the things we can do is paying attention to our physical sensations and emotional sensations. So when I talk with somebody, when I think about something, can I start first to be able to receive myself and not race into my thinking to wonder what am I going to say next, to wonder how I'm going to solve this problem or these kind of things, because each time I'm in my head this way, I am not receiving. So first we need to pay attention to receive ourselves this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just keep expanding and experiencing moment to moment each situation. That's what receiving is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Carol, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, just to what Tish said, the concept of worthiness goes mm-hmm. out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we're worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. My daughter once said to me, Mom, if it wasn't possible, you wouldn't be able to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's saying, trust it, believe it, receive it, accept it, be grateful for it, and then see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's energy. It's exactly what you were talking about, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Those ideas you had in the car were energetic gifts from yourself, from your knowing, to your conscious mind. And you listened to it. Think how your life would have gone differently, minus three books, had
mm-hmm.
you not listened to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we all need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Know we are capable of infinite things.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrate the journey and be full of joy and full of expectation. And moment to moment, make it what we want.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Then, Carol, you say that our energy gives off a sound and that every person have their own unique sound. Can you tell us more about this?
Certainly. So inside the body, your heart is going, your lungs are going, things are pumping, blood's surging through your vessels, and that has vibration. By definition, vibration has sound associated with it. And so every human being is a different accumulation of those moving parts, the sound, if you will. The first person who brought it to my attention was a great dean at the University of Arizona who could hear the pitch of a crying baby in a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd walk up and say, do you mind if I just talk to the mom? Say, can I talk to your baby for a minute? And the mother was frustrated because the baby's crying. And he would just sing a pitch at the baby, and the baby would stop crying. Because he was singing back to the baby the pitch that was their harmonious center. And many healing modules use
mm-hmm.
a similar
mm-hmm.
effect, from crystal
mm-hmm.
bowls to everything. But if you hear a pitch which is harmonious with your body, your anxiety diminishes greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And you become in tune and more settled, more ready to heal.
Well, the word that I hear is uplifting. And a certain music is so uplifting that I think that it raises one's vibrations and is very healing to the person that is attuned to that particular music. I sometimes am raised to tears from beautiful music, and it's not a sad experience. It's a very uplifting experience for me.
Certainly, even King David in the Bible, when he had a headache, he called for a harpist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as we take that knowledge into the healing sphere, a healer who can hear the pitches can play the pitches that a person is uplifted by,
mm-hmm.
that a person is harmonious with.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if a part of the body is off kilter a little bit, the lungs are not working quite right or the kidneys off, often that one vibration that's not in harmony with the rest of the body, with music we can entrain that organ or part of the body and bring it back into center so
mm-hmm.
that it's back into a harmonious cohesion with the rest of the body. And it's my belief that when the body's in communication is when real healing happens.
Mm-hmm. I had a student once. I was with students in a nursing home for an experience, and the student came in with a tape recorder, and I said to her, "Why do you have the tape recorder?" She said, "Well, my patient was an opera singer, and she said, I brought some opera to play for her today, because she said, I think that that would help her." The patient was just kind of out of it. And I thought that was very, very insightful on the part of that this particular nursing student.
Absolutely. I did a study at the University Medical Center with myself and two doctors, one from the University of Arizona and one from the Andrew Weil Institute. And we had one story that I think you'll enjoy, Carl. So the study was to see if 10 minutes of music at bedside in the ICU, so it's the intensive care unit of people just coming out of open heart and thoracic surgeries, if the 10 minutes of harp playing made a difference. The first person that I worked with, I went into a room and the nurses said, "You know, Carol, go in, but we're not very hopeful. He's been in a coma 3 or 4 days. We don't know if he'll ever come out. We don't know if he'll hear your music." And I said, "You know, I trust that he'll hear what he needs to hear." So I went into the room. He was on an oxygen mask. He was on a heart machine, everything else. And I played. I was going to play for 10 minutes. And at 7.5 minutes into the harp music, he opened his eyes. He lifted his oxygen mask off and said, "Thank you." So that, the music had reconnected him enough to pull out of his coma. And things like that happened throughout the whole study.
I think that Bernie Siegel has also talked about how music in the operating room not only has a calming effect on the patient, but also on the health professionals that are there.
Absolutely. There is no question. It changes the energy. It's what we've all been talking about. It changes the energy. And if you take the microcosm to the macrocosm, if I'm saying that one organ in a person's body needs to come into alignment with the rest, isn't that so true in an operating room?
You
may have someone who's doing the breathing machine, and that person is not in alignment with everyone else. The music will bring everybody into a common energy thread. And then that kind of intuition in the operating room will happen where the doctor needs something and puts his hand out and the nurse has it there because they are aligned.
And very often also when Carol and I do some energy healing work, we are going to use also sound beside the harp and sound from the voice, because at time when there is not a lot of time to create some change, just using the sound of the voice into the body can just create faster shift. So that's a tool that I have been using for a long time when I know there's only 10 minutes left, and I want to try if I can really help that person.
That's great. Then what is the most important message that you'd like people to take away from your book, Manifest Moment by Moment, Moment to Moment?
The, for me, Tejpal, is, as Carol mentioned, there are so many options in this book. So you don't have to start with chapter one. We can start in the middle of the book. And there are so many exercises, different kind of breath, different kind of thinking, different kind of creative art exercises and so forth. So that you really go through the path of least resistance. Go through the path of your attraction. And trust that to dive into this abundance of exercises that gives you options to be more aware, have more energy, and be more uplifted.
Beautifully said, Tej, and it's why I love co-creating with Tejpal. I agree with her perfectly. And the second half of that for me would be, and The book is called Moment to Moment, Manifest Moment to Moment. This moment is all we're responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
What happened a second ago, or worrying about what's going to happen in the next moment, is not our concern. That is not where our energy must be. That is not what we have any control over.
Mm-hmm.
But at this moment, how I think, how positive I am, what my intention is, what my joy factor is, that will change what happens in the future and how I process what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only responsible for now. What an easy gig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although most people are usually in the past or the future, never in the now.
Well, they're maybe driving with their eyes in the rearview mirror. It's mm-hmm. not really, really very safe.
No.
I'd much mm-hmm. rather be just content with now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then would you tell us about your, anything you want more to say about the book and also services that you have and how the listeners could reach you?
Carol, the website is the name of the book, manifestmomenttomoment.com. And we have a table that is on events and workshop and things that we do on a regular basis. We do workshops at least once a month now. There will be teleclasses in a couple of months available. And also on the website, there are many exercises that we put every month so that people can stay engaged with us.
We're very intent-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
We want to offer a gift to people. So if they do go on to moment to moment or manifestmomenttomoment.com and go to our videos or our blog, or we put exercises that are sometimes from the book and sometimes just invented that we call claimits, go there when you're feeling a little bit down or you say, oh man, I don't have direction. I need to get back on my bicycle and ride. Go there, visit it, sort of take some of our energy, and it's sort of like a tune-up for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else, then, that you would like to say before we close, Dr. Carol and Tish?
I'd just like to say, Carl, you're doing wonderful work. I agree with you totally on energy, and just that we send love and grace to everybody listening and believe you can do it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Carol. And all your questions were really, really deep and focused, and I know you really read this book, which is wonderful. So we thank you for that.
Thank you. I enjoyed this, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners to move forward in this world that we live in. So I thank you very much. Thank you. Today, I want to tell you about an upcoming movie on holistic, natural, alternative treatment for cancer that you will not want to miss. As many of you know, I am a 40-year lung cancer survivor who used holistic, natural interventions after being given 6 months to live by traditional medicine and offered chemo and surgery that I refused. As a pioneer in the field of holistic natural treatments for illnesses who use many of the Edgar Cayce treatments in practice, I know from experience with myself and others that this approach works. In the blog for this upcoming movie, the filmmaker says, "This film purports to activate our constitutional right to benefit from the reversal of the cancer epidemic via holistic medicine, innovative science, eco-community, the law, the blog's campaign, and creative chutzpah. By reversing cancer holistically, the survivor significantly increases lifespan potential under healthy conditions while saving bodily parts, reducing cost, helping the country to fix its sick care system, and eradicate today's costly chronic disease epidemic." The filmmaker, Dr. Christian Jobe, is a naturopathic physician and lawyer and is well qualified to produce this film and adds credibility to its selected content. The documentary includes both experts in the field and also survivors who used a holistic approach. Some experts in the film include Sylvia Beljansky, Burton Berkson, Gabriel Cousins, Charlotte Gerson, Nicholas Gonzalez, Richard Gordon, Tom Lodi, Keith Mumby, Stephen Ross, and Bradley Weeks. Some survivors who used a holistic approach are Billy Best, a 20-year survivor of Hodgkin's lymphoma, Lori Christian, a survivor of Paget's breast cancer, Carl O'Helvey, a 40-year survivor of lung cancer, and Suzanne Moss, a 20-year survivor of breast cancer. Following the release of this movie on DVD in the next few weeks, a second one is planned that will interview experts and survivors in Europe. To view a trailer for the upcoming movie, go to http://holisticoncologymovie.com. Also, updates are posted on Facebook at https://www.facebook.com/holisticoncologymovie. Please like the page to stay informed on updates. You can also sign up to buy the film at this time. You will not be disappointed because I believe this is the first film that showed a holistic approach to cancer treatment. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my websites, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows from the last 5.5 years under the blog with a search engine so you can look for a specific topic. You will also find a place to sign up for a free monthly newsletter on holistic health and the latest information on research on cancer, also under the blog. I also invite you to my website, beatlungcancer.net, where you will find information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. You will also find endorsements. You will find additional information about the book, and you will also find a site where you can purchase the book from me, or you can also purchase it at Amazon.com. I also invite you to join me on Facebook under Carl Helvey or under Holistic Health Show or under Beat Lung Cancer. I also invite you to join me on LinkedIn under Carl Helvey or on Twitter under Holist Health Show. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.